Casey Corcoran Podcast.
Well, it's game five of the World Series here at the new Busch Stadium in downtown St. Louis. And it looks like it's just about time to sing the national anthem.
That's right, Joe. And singing tonight is Pamela Bell, winner of local grocery store Schnucks Anthem Idol Contest.
I hear the girl can sing.
Well, let's go to the field.
Ladies and gentlemen, here tonight to honor our country by singing the national anthem, please welcome Pamela Bell.
The what? Soap or a hell, baby, yeah.
That's right.
Let's blame me. The Who's brought the stripes and right roars. Oh, the ramrods we watched. And the rockets, red glare, the bombs bursting up in the air. Give a little boo. Through the night. That I've never felt again. For it's one to need to track your way out. And
just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
18th of August, 2021. This is JCOnTheLine.com. It's your buddy JC here with another podcast, absolutely free, half hour a day. Please do your best to spread the word, by the way. We're relying on a lot of word of mouth here. People who enjoyed the old radio shows usually enjoy this podcast every day. So if they know about it, they come back, and that's what we need from you, to spread the word. And we appreciate those of you who are doing it. Well, I'm starting to get a little upset at myself for allowing the poison in this whole COVID thing. And I'm not talking about the poison that gets into your body and then makes you sick. I'm talking about the sociological poison that is involved in this. I don't even know what it is. It's not an argument. I wouldn't even call it an argument. It's like one side states its case, the other side states its case. They scream at each other in the parking lot of a school board meeting, and nothing changes, and just people get mad, and people have their cars dented, and you end up losing friends out of this whole thing based on what their position is on masks and vaccines. In a country that's already split, and by the way, it's not split down the middle. It is not split down the middle. It drives me buggy when people say that. It's split like 70-30. It really is about a third of the population. Maybe 40% that are screwing this whole thing up. And you can throw stats and figures and government figures at people. And, you know, you're trying to make a point, and then somebody will just say, oh, I don't believe what the government says. And the whole thing just stops right there. There's no more discussion. There's no more exchange of ideas. Like I said, you know, I'm losing friends like crazy over this whole thing. Over first it was Donald Trump, and now it's the whole COVID thing and masks and vaccinations. Well, listen to this. They just released this poll. And this is one of those, you know, legitimate polls. You hear them all the time, and they're generated by people who seem to know what they're doing on this whole thing. And you can say, I don't believe in polls. I mean, again, that's one of those things, again, that somebody says when they're just throwing a giant wrench into the works. Everything stops and nothing happens and there's no more exchange of ideas. But anyhow, this came out yesterday. Do you, the nationwide poll, do you support mask mandates in your school district? Overall, 69% of people say, yeah. And there it is. There's your 30%. Okay. Because almost 70% right there, one shy of 70% are saying, yeah, we want mask mandates. But there's that 30% saying, by the way, it breaks down 92% of Democrats, 44% of Republicans. So, you know, approaching a full half of the population of Republicans still says, yeah, mask mandates make sense. That is a much higher number than I would have anticipated. Anyhow, now ask it from the opposite perspective. Do you support state laws prohibiting mask mandates? You know, a couple of states have done that. Actually, it's more than a couple. But overall, only 33% of Americans say, yeah, we want to make sure that there aren't people who can come along and say, you have to wear a mask. Only 33%. 16% of Democrats, I don't know who those people are, and 57% of Republicans. But again, here you go. Just over half of Republicans even agree with the idea of passing laws or having, you know, mandates or whatever the case may be, prohibiting people in state government from, I don't know. But I guess the thing that's bothering me this morning is that Greg Abbott, you know, and I had enough of this guy when I lived in Houston. You could see what he was all about. And then when Trump came along, it became very, very obvious what was going on with this guy. And yesterday we found out that he's got COVID. And I started doing a happy dance. And I started thinking about it. And I'm like, well, I shouldn't be happy that somebody is sick. And at the same time, Abbott has been responsible, personally responsible for a lot of sickness, a lot of death, a lot of human suffering. You know, the survivors of the families of COVID victims. Let's not forget them. And then I started thinking, well, now, if DeSantis can just get sick, then I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'd love to hear that Ron DeSantis in Florida is on a ventilator. I'd love that. Then I started thinking to myself, look what this is doing to me. It's making me into a bad person. It's making me wish that the people, two guys, in this particular case, two governors, who are responsible for so much human suffering, I'm hoping that they get sick. And would I be upset if they died? Probably not. And then you start thinking to yourself, what am I becoming? But I tell you what I don't like. I don't like people who try to reduce this to, well, you're right, JC, what an awful thing. You want to see somebody die just because you disagree with them politically. Ah, ha, 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 ha. That's where we stop. That's where we stop. Because you can try to reduce it to something as simple as just somebody you disagree with politically. That's not what this is. That's what it used to be. People would have, you know, political arguments, discussions, whatever the case may be. Things would get heated. But we didn't have that internet and social media thing. And as George Carlin said a long time ago, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. And now on top of that, here we go. An anti-vaccine Christian prophecy radio host dies of COVID in Tennessee. Jimmy DeYoung Sr. promoted the idiotic conspiracy theories that the Pfizer vaccine makes women sterile, that vaccines are a plot for government control, and that almost no one who gets COVID dies from it. He called the vaccine only a supposed solution and not truly a vaccine. These are all direct quotes, and now he's pushing up daisies. We got people, pharmacists, allegedly selling COVID-19 vaccination cards on eBay. Yesterday we found out that we're going to have to get booster shots. And do you get the idea? Do you get the idea that maybe this thing is going to get way, way crazier than we even thought? I, for one, not in the mood for it. This whole thing is unnecessary. But I'm starting to not care very much about people who sort of won't go along with things, get their vaccination and get the card and everything and wear the mask. There's not a lot of this in other countries, by the way. Just a little, not much. But it's not like it is here. I keep going back to my friend who lives in Spain. We talk about it all the time and we compare notes. You know, she tells me what's going on there. I tell her what's going on here. And, you know, those foreign governments are not fucking around. During the height of the pandemic, and again, that's a misnomer now because this is the height of the pandemic, but I'm talking about like last year, you know, they were using drones to keep track on citizens who said, okay, I got to go to the drugstore. They're like, fine, you can go to the drugstore, no problem. But the drone would follow them to the drugstore. And if they didn't turn around, come back home after getting their prescription filled, there'd be a couple of guys knocking on your door. I'm not even saying that that's necessarily the preferred method of handling all this. It does show you some people and some governments have been serious about this and some just haven't. And now here's another sort of weird pandemic-related shortage. Schools all over the country don't have enough bus drivers and it's causing major issues. Pittsburgh needs 400 bus drivers, and a school district in Nevada is handing out $2,000 bonuses to new drivers. One school in Wilmington, Delaware, is even offering to pay parents to help out, but they're not driving buses. If they agree to drive their own kids to school all year and pick them up, they get $700. And over 30% of parents have already signed up. And that might be because a lot of parents don't want their kids on buses right now. Anyhow, before COVID hit, 44% of us were sending our kids to school on buses. Now it's only 38%. And while that's going on, more people are smoking. The percentage of U.S. adults who say they've tried pot is up to 49%, the highest percentage ever. More than 50 years ago, just 4% would admit to it, but the percentage has been trending up ever since. Gosh, you think? And since the pandemic, more people are smoking pot while exercising. Gives new meaning to the term, how about another fatty? Good morning, everybody. Today is the birthday of Martin Mull. And you've seen him in everything from the movie Clue to the TV show Roseanne to Mr. Mom. He was on the road doing stand-up for many, many years back in the very late 60s and pretty much all of the 1970s. He used to come out on stage with an entire living room set. There'd be an easy chair and a lamp and all the thing. He would just sit there like he was sitting in somebody's living room. And that was something that nobody else was doing. But when you think back at it, someday I'm going to have a conversation with him because that must have been very, very expensive. Most stand-up comedians, you know, they got a backpack or one suitcase or something like that, and that's it. If you're Gallagher, you know, you got to travel with a whole trunk full of watermelons and props and things like that. But most stand-up comedians, they're a rare breed, very rare breed. As I found out doing the Westport Comedy Series. This is something we started all the way back in the fall of 1984. A good friend of mine by the name of Pat Crocker, who was a salesman at Casey, but had lots of really, really good ideas about what was called non-traditional revenue. And that basically, now let's come up with some ideas to sell some stuff that isn't necessarily just relegated to a 60-second radio commercial. So you would put together promotions and ideas and stuff like that. And Pat had the idea, let's bring in all the, you know, comedy was king. Comedy was king in the middle 1980s. And so you had all these stand-up comedians who were doing primarily David Letterman show, but also, you know, a lot of Tonight Show stuff and a lot of cable specials. You know, that was new for a lot of people, HBO. And so he started, you know, putting these major comedians on stage at the Westport Playhouse, and I emceed every single one of them. And we had everybody from George Carlin and Jay Leno, Sam Kinison, Brian Regan, David Brenner back in the day, Steve Landisberg from Barney Miller back in the day, Seinfeld, Paula Poundstone, Larry Bud Melman, Roseanne. We even did Yakov Smirnoff. And one of the guys who came in one of those very early comedy series shows out at Westport was comedian Martin Mull, who closed his show at the Westport Playhouse with this joke about yours truly.
I thought maybe I'd try to tell one joke here before we kind of wind things down. And I really couldn't think of any except something true that happened. You remember the fellow JC that was out here from KC Radio earlier? Well, he and I go back a bit. Back to Los Angeles, actually, when we were both single, and he still is, I guess, for obvious reasons, but... Okay, roommate, I guess. And it's a damn good guess. Anyway, there was one time, as young guys will do, and I think those of you who are my age or older can still remember back, you know, there was not always fun, that fun thing to do in the summer, go down to the beach and just see who's there, you know, maybe find a date for Friday night or Saturday night or meet some people, and by that I mean women, and, you know, well, what am I trying to say? Make babies. Actually, attempt to make babies without having one. And he and I used to do that. We'd walk up and down the beach, and I don't know whether I was just lucky or whatever, but... I would meet an awful lot of people, and it worked out real well for me. Poor JC couldn't meet a soul. In fact, people would go, oh, like avert their eyes and hide their children almost when he walked down. He was just so despondent about this, and he finally said to me, he said, Martin, I'm not coming again. He said, because this is just too humiliating for me. I'm not meeting anyone. And I said, JC, I don't usually give advice, but in this case, I feel obliged. Can I give you a couple of pointers that maybe might help you? And he said, sure, you know, because he's a nice fella. I said, number one, the sunglasses with the little ducks in the corner, in the powder blue frames, get rid of those. I said, get the ones like I have, those mirrored ones where it's kind of an aura of mystery, you know, that kind of Italian kind of look, you know, with the wire frames. Get those, you'll be better off. Also, you have a great physique. Oil your body so the definition of those muscles comes out. People, you know, girls like that. They like to see the muscles. And I said, and also that huge yellow bathing suit. I said, get rid of it. It's just, it looks like a tent. I said, do what I do. Wear the little tiny, you know, the European real skimpy briefs. And I said, in fact, even put a potato in this. No, people do that. I swear to God, all the time. I said, it can't hurt. So he said, really? And I said, yeah. And so the next day we went out, and sure enough, JC showed up with all this stuff. We walked up and down the beach maybe for 2 hours, and finally after 2 hours, I had several phone numbers with me at the time, or by that time. JC still had nothing going. And we got back to the little area where you buy hamburgers and Cokes and stuff. And he said, listen, I'm going home. He said, I can't handle this anymore. He said, I did everything you told me to, and it's just not working. I guess it's not in the cards for me. And I said to him, I said, okay, JC, I understand. We're still friends. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, incidentally, if you ever come here again, I just have one last piece of advice for you. That potato goes in front. Not a pretty picture.
That's correct. I save everything. Other birthdays to Martin Mull, by the way, is 78 today. All right. Andy Samberg, 43. Malcolm Jamal Warner from The Cosby Show, 51. Edward Norton, one of our great actors these days, 52. Christian Slater, 52. Madeline Stowe. Oh, boy. Handsome female, got an opportunity to interview her for a thing called Revenge back in the day. Married to Brian Benben, who had that HBO series back in the 80s. What the hell was that called? It was that show where they would intersperse clips of old movies and stuff. The name of the show is escaping me right now. All right, Dennis Leary, 64. Robert Redford is 85. I watched The Natural again last night. I don't know when that movie's on. I just sit there and I watch one of my all-time favorite scenes in movies. And I'm going to put together a list one of these days and publish this because I love the scene after he takes batting practice for the first time. He's hitting everything into the grandstands. The manager, Wilford Brimley's character, comes lumbering out of the dugout yelling, "Hobbs! Hobbs!" And then he says, "Roy." I love that scene. Redford, 85 today. Roman Polanski, 88. Rosalind Carter. And by the way, let's remember that it is Rosalind, not Rosalind. Former First Lady. You make it to 94, you'd think you earned the right to have people pronounce your name the correct way. The old saying is that we are creatures of habit, and it turns out to be the case time after time, research after research. According to a new survey, 66% of Americans have unofficial assigned seats in their homes. And most of those people are so passionate about their spot, I'm thinking Archie Bunker here, they'd feel uncomfortable sitting anywhere else. These numbers are backed up by another recent poll where 63% of people said that when they eat dinner at home, they generally sit in the same place. Only 18% said they did not. 14% said they either don't have a table or they don't have anybody to eat with. Aw. As I mentioned yesterday, I've been traveling quite a bit this summer and flying. Spirit Airlines started charging people for carry-ons in 2010. Now they charge for everything, and other airlines have followed suit. So now they're saying the next thing that could happen would be that when you stay in a hotel, they might start charging you to use the pool. $25, 20 bucks to check in early, another 20 to check out late, and an additional fee to use the gym. They claim it's going to allow them to offer rooms at slightly cheaper rates. Oh yeah, let's keep track of that and see if that turns out to be the case. It won't. A man in Lake Tahoe, California, has filed a lawsuit after he went to throw some trash in the dumpster at a condo complex, and a bear was in the dumpster. He wants $15,000 to cover the injuries he suffered trying to run away. It's not a lawsuit, that's self-preservation. I used to date a girl a while back who was a representative, a marketing representative for one of those, let's just say one of those cheap stores. You know, one of those cheap stores, and you could probably guess. There's about a half a dozen of them. Dollar stores stay in business by getting overstocked stuff in bulk. So, for example, a $1 toothbrush only costs them a quarter, and they can get 8 packs of crayons for 30 cents, then resell them for a buck. But not everything they sell is a deal. They also partner with companies to sell smaller-sized products that fit their $1 price point, and sometimes you get less for your money that way. A couple of examples: the Scott brand toilet paper at the dollar store, a single roll at the Dollar Tree costs about $2 or 30 cents more than at Target. Old Spice deodorant, they usually sell smaller tubes of it, and when you pay $1.25 per ounce, know that across the street at Walmart, they're selling it for 97 cents. An ounce, or 75 cents at Costco. How about Sharpies? $1 at most dollar stores, 80 cents at Walmart. Crest toothpaste, 42 cents an ounce versus 25 cents at Target. Cereal, Cheerios, 29 cents an ounce at Dollar Tree, 17 cents at Walmart. I'm going to stop this because it's sending too many people to Walmart. We don't want that happening. You can see this coming. That's what she said. Colin Jost has confirmed that he has knocked up his wife, Scarlett Johansson. They're having a baby. Brett Favre says kids under the age of 14 should not play tackle football. A&E has got a new show coming out that is going to be exploring the dark side of Hugh Hefner's Playboy empire. It's a new docuseries. The trailer dropped yesterday. Wes Anderson's got a new movie coming out. loaded with stars: Scarlett Johansson, Bryan Cranston, Jeffrey Wright, Margot Robbie, Tom Hanks, Bill Murray, and Adrian Brody. Tom Hanks and Bill Murray in the same movie. And today is the series premiere of the miniseries Nine Perfect Strangers. It's on Hulu. It has Melissa McCarthy, Luke Evans, and Bobby Cannavale. They go to a wellness retreat run by Nicole Kidman, who promises to transform and heal them of their suffering. Adidas made a pair of sneakers inspired by the outfit of next-door neighbor Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. They come out on October 3rd to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Season 3, episode when Flanders failed. The Netflix movie Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Greed premieres next Wednesday. So far, Netflix is being pretty secretive about its content. Daniel Craig is the latest guy to say, just like Warren Buffett, that when he dies, his kids are going to basically get nothing. Here's the quote from Daniel Craig: "I think inheritance is quite distasteful. My philosophy is to get rid of it or give it away before you go," end quote. And Tim Tebow, cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. He was trying out to be a tight end or a defensive end? They found he couldn't tackle. So if you call Tim Tebow today, he's going to be home. And on this date back in 1995, we were celebrating the 80th birthday of our buddy Johnny Loverboy Amoroso. Now, if you were not around for the old radio show, whether it was on KC or KSD, there was an elderly guy, a little short Italian guy, who worked at Barton Higher Wine for his entire life. And he was also an umpire, usually down at Johnny Mac's in Valley Park. And we met him because he was umpiring a lot of the KC softball games. And he was so funny, we decided to invite him into the studio and have him on the air and just sort of play with him. And we would frequently give him scripts. He was sort of like our Larry Bud Melman. We would hand him a script and he would read it cold, but we would record it. So we made sure we got his worst possible take. And then we would use it on the air. And Johnny was a character. An absolute heart of gold, but slightly, what's the word I'm looking for? Ditzy? A little bit? He would occasionally tell a story, as you're about to hear right here, but sometimes the stories didn't make any sense, and we had trouble understanding what he was trying to get at. I think Eric Mink is in the studio for this one, too. A flashback to our old pal, Johnny Loverboy Amoroso.
What I like to say is, when I went with my wife, in 1942, I lived next door to her, and I waited 5 years. She was only 14. I had to wait till she got older.
How old were you at the time, John?
About 20.
20, and she was 14? Who do you think you are, Jerry Lee Lewis?
So anyway, I finally got a date from her. I worked hard to get this date.
Where'd you take her?
To the Columbia Theater.
Did you bring her cans of Johnny
Southwest?
This is the story.
Did you do the old popcorn trick?
No, I bought a pack of gum. 13. Oh, I know. So we walked hand to hand. We went to the show, sat in the back row, naturally.
Sat in the back row on the first day with a 14-year-old girl?
No, she was older than that. She was 19 when I dated her.
Oh, 19. So yeah, now you're like 30.
30. No. Yeah. Well, anyway, we walked instead of using my car, and we got to the show.
So which was unusual because it was a drive-in.
Soon as the show was over, we started to go, we looked, boy, it's raining like hell. My gosh. She says, how are we going to get home? I said, honey, just stay right here. I'll be right back. I flew out of the show, ran down the 5 blocks, got soaking wet, and I brought the car back, and I gave it to her. She said, honey, you're a great guy.
Oh, attaboy.
All right, what
attaboy.
A man.
Attaboy.
I thought she had left with somebody else.
And she said, no.
And he came back, and she was gone.
Yeah, she was there.
Happy 44th wedding anniversary to you and lover girl.
And she married a war veteran from the World War II, not Civil War.
Wait a minute. This was not the girl you married?
Yeah. I married her, not the Civil War. I don't mean Civil War. World War II.
Wait a minute. Okay. Wait a minute. Who did the girl that you got at the Columbia Theater that you got all wet for?
Yeah. I married her.
You married her?
Yeah.
But then she married some veteran from Spanish-American War or something?
No. The War of 1812?
I don't get it.
No. We got married in 1945. I was still in the service.
And then she married. And then she married somebody from the Crusades.
And believe you me, I was true blue to that woman. I could have had a lot of dates in the army, but I didn't take them.
And then she was going to marry David, but Goliath came along.
I was
going
to say, when William of Hastings conquered Normandy.
The first William of Hastings reference on the show that day from Eric Mink. All right, that's it. We've got to go. Thanks for listening. We're here every weekday morning at 7 o'clock with a half an hour of free stuff. If you miss a podcast, everything is archived here and on various platforms. You can email me at jc@jcontheline.com, Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.